And the final good thing, which is not limited to, but something I particularly enjoy, is that they are starting the Starscream and Megatron struggle. And it is so dynamic. This is something that the movies failed to do epically. And they could have done such a good job with it. They could have tapped into this dynamic that all Transformers fans know, is that Starscream inevitably will try to get rid of Megatron so that he can be the leader. The movies don't do that. It's very irritating. But Transformers Prime has started in on this. Now, one thing that's kind of, I've heard somebody talking about this, that the size difference of Starscream and Megatron is so stark, because Starscream is really spindly and kind of tiny, like he's a bird. He's like a bird, so he's really fragile looking. And Megatron is just this huge, broad-chested beast. And when he beats the crap out of Starscream, you feel really bad for Starscream. He's not the same size as Megatron. I mean, he's like a whole, 10 feet shorter than him? 5 feet shorter than him? And he just gets the living snot beat out of him. And you feel really bad for the guy because he has no chance of whooping Megatron when he's that much bigger and fiercer than him. But they're bringing out that dynamic where, the cycle. Starscream tries to overthrow Megatron, Megatron finds out, beats Starscream, forgives him, repeats the cycle. But, like Transformers Animated, and unlike the G1 where Megatron would beat Starscream, Starscream would try to overthrow him again and he'd beat him and he'd subsequently forget about being trying to be assassinated, He'd always forget. And Starscream would come right back to him. And that wasn't really realistic to me. I'm thinking, if somebody tried to kill me, I'd probably want to get them at the farthest away I could possibly be from them. Which is kind of what Animated did, where Megatron subsequently killed Starscream, but then he was resurrected by the Allspark fragment. And then he became his own Splinter Cell. And Starscream is sticking with Megatron, but you can just hear his little mutterings, behind his back. And you just know that he is waiting for Megatron to screw up so that he can get away with the leadership. And when he's with Megatron, he's very leery of him. He always is trying to keep his head down just a little bit. Try to play the, I'm a very loyal servant to you, Megatron. What shall I do to do your bidding? And Megatron can kind of see through it. And it's funny to see that Starscream, though he tries very hard, he doesn't pull it off very well in front of Megatron. And it's just great to see this dynamic. And I'm hoping that it gets even better. And spoiler, I have seen all the series, so I do know it does get much better, and it's so good. But I'll get that into another critique. But in any case, they've done a marvelous job getting this Starscream-Megatron dynamic going, where I'm going to overthrow you, well, you can try, type of thing. And it is wonderful. Okay, now the bad stuff that I've come to see with this series. There's not a lot of bad stuff, really. There's just a few things. And one of the things I found a little bit sad was that Cliffjumper, who was voiced by The Rock of all things, I'm guessing he was too expensive or something to be a voice because they got rid of him real quick. And he died just like, you start to get a personality of this guy and you're thinking, well, maybe he'll survive, maybe he'll go and go. And all of a sudden, whack, Starscream freaking kills him. And that was epic. I'm a Khan fangirl, I can't deny it. It was totally epic when he killed him. I was like, wow, this guy's badass. But it was kind of a waste of a character, really, because it'd be better, I think, if they developed the character more. And then that way, when Starscream actually killed him, the impact of it would have been more painful for the people. I mean, all you had to go on was the memory of, oh yeah, I like Cliffjumper from G1, but really you didn't have a reference to go on other than that. But, c'est la vie, the death was really cool, so it wasn't a total bad thing. Another thing I found a little wrong with this series was the Erraticons, or the basic stormtroopers of this series. The Decepticons have kind of become cannon fodder, and these guys, they're really cool looking, they have really cool car designs, they have really cool flying designs, but they're all faceless, and they all speak in the same voice, just like the stormtroopers of Star Wars. And, they send out 10 of them, and 10 of them die. And then they send out 10 more, and 10 more of them die, and nobody really cares. It's just something for the Autobots to hit, something for them to smash, something to, for them to do cool battle moves and stuff. But I find it a little unfair that they're just cannon fodder. They don't have any personality. And it's kind of sad to see that, really, because I always thought the Decepticons were the more individuals. You know, we had, in the G1 series, we had Thundercracker and Skywarp, and we had Blitzwing, and we had Astrotrain, and all the little cassettes, Rumble and Frenzy. I mean, there were tons of these Decepticons, and they all had these great devious personalities, and some of them were even more devious than the next, and it was just fun to see that. But all of them are the same now. It's like, you just send them out, they get killed, and it's like, okay, let's manufacture some more, and let's kill them. So it's a little frustrating as a Decepticon fangirl to see that, you know, there's only like 3 or 4 cons that actually have personality in this first one, in this first series, and then the rest of them are just, okay, let's line them up and shoot them all. So it's a little frustrating to see that. Another thing I found I didn't like very, I was not real sold on, was the zombie aspect of it. I mean, it's kind of cool that I like the dark energon idea. Like, there's this good energon and this bad energon, and one of them will turn you into complete and utter psycho or something. But the thought of raising a dead robot and then bringing it back to life like a real zombie is just kind of weird, I guess. I mean, it's kind of cool because, you know, zombies are just cool, but zombie robots, I don't know. It just kind of plays with the line a little bit, and I'm not real impressed with that idea so much. But, you know, it was a cool idea. It's a good way to get a huge army of Decepticons. But, you know, as I said before, it just seems like they can manufacture all they want. Why the hell would they need dead zombies, dead robots to do the job for them? But, you know, they're more indestructible, I suppose. But I don't know. I'm not real sold on this zombie thing that's going on. And the last thing I found I did not like, and probably the ultimate downside to this series, is Miko. I don't know why, but every Transformer series has to have a stupid, annoying human. I don't know what it is, but there's always one. Some of them have 5. Some of them are all stupid, and this one is the only one. It's the only blemish on this whole series. It's the only blemished character. Now, many young people, I should say, really like her because they're like, oh, she's so quirky, she's so cute, she's just like me. I sure hope that she's not just like you, because if she was just like you, this is how your day would go. You would say, I think I'm going to go play out in traffic today. You almost get clipped by a car and you run back out in the street. The next day, you do the same thing. Let's go play out in traffic again. That was intense. And then you almost get clipped by a truck this time. Then the next day, instead of going someplace and doing something remarkable, you go out in traffic again and almost get killed again. And somebody jumps out and tries to save you and they get clipped. And you're like, oh, wow, that was so cool. I'm so glad you saved me. But then you go out and play in traffic again. You see where I'm going with this? Miko is this character. She is the idiot of this group. She does not learn. She is not cute. She is not quirky. She is a liability. And this goes on later in the series. I mean, I could forgive it maybe the first time that she wants to tag along and see a robot fight. I'm not gonna lie. I would probably want to tag along and see a robot fight. But little girls, little people do not belong in the middle of a robot fight any more than a little kid belongs in downtown Baghdad during a war. So why does she keep insisting on going on these little ventures? Why does she continually throw herself into danger? Why does she continually almost get Bulkhead killed? It's driving me crazy. And the things she says, be like a rock star! I'm like, oh good God, can you please shut up? Who wants to be a rock star? They end up overdosing and dying, and they live a very sad life, performing for schmucks like us. I mean, I don't know, it's just the stereotypical little punk girl who wants to be cool, and I'm in a band, I'm so cool! Oh my God, really? Again? Every freaking movie, every Disney spinoff has this kid who wants to join a band, join the team. I just don't understand the allure of this band thing or this anything. I don't know. Maybe I'm just out of the loop of this. But in any case, she is a very terrible character, and for me, she kind of puts the only blemish on the series, and I could just cry. But C'est la vie, the rest of the series is so good that even the annoyance of Miko is dimmed with this series. So that is my critique of Transformers Prime, the premiere. I hope you have enjoyed this. So basically, I really love the series. It's wonderful. They have great character development, wonderful voice acting, beautiful animation, and I highly recommend it to anyone who hasn't gotten into this series. So go to YouTube and visit one of these sites and watch the Transformers Prime series and give it some support. We want to keep this thing going. So this has been Fire Redhead, and thanks for listening.